It's the Raven of the Blues, Talk Radio Europe in Spain, Radio Napa in Cyprus, Kansas City Online Radio, and of course podcasting across the world. In case you're wondering why this gentleman who is sitting in front of me picks up so many awards, you've just heard the reason why. Ryan McGarvey, welcome to the show. It's your first time to the UK, but not your first time to Europe, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. And I first learned about you from about 7 years ago now, when you suddenly pick up your first guitar award. Okay. That was back in 2006. Okay. But you've been getting two or three awards a year, every year, isn't it really?
It seems kind of like that. Yeah, definitely some bigger than the others, I think. But it's been a long ways, but it's definitely come pretty far.
But finding out about you on your website or anything anywhere else before 2006, it almost appears that you appeared perfectly formed. But that can't be the case, though, can it?
No. I grew up playing guitar, and then about the time I was in high school, I started kind of sitting in and filling in with some local blues bands back home, which is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And just kind of started to kind of feel my way in with that, was playing nothing but blues, and just kind of grew from there and started finally putting my own bands together and stuff. And about 2006 or so, that's when finally had my own band, and things just really started taking off from that.
Yeah. Why the blues? Of all the genres you could have had.
I always say I like the blues because it's, you can't hide, I don't think. I think that, and it's when you're, if you're faking it, I think it really shows. So I think you have to be very honest with it. I think there's some players that kind of can come across as faking it and just kind of doing cliche, like, I mean, just what they think the right notes are, as opposed to what they're really feeling and what I think it's really all about. And so I just like it that it's just very, you just lay it kind of on the line, and if you're not 100% into it, I think everyone else will know that you're not.
I mean, did you always feel it? Because, I mean, for a white boy in New Mexico, it's not natural blues territory in a way.
Right. It's like, I grew up on classic hard rock, Led Zeppelin, mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix, Cream, all of that. And I was really into that immediately. And then I started tracing back to what it was that made those people
the thing
who
all
they
of us
were.
Have done over the yeah. years, yeah.
So after that, I became very much so a blues purist, which stuff I just played, just, you know, all I liked was traditional Robert Johnson into Elmore James and above. And kind of traced it through that and was just very purist about things from that point on for quite a while. And then some of the more contemporary blues rock artists, more so the late 90s, like Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Chris Duarte, and more, and guys like that. That's what I really took to, kind of, because I felt like everyone's inspirations kept going of, like, there was the blues guys that inspired the Clapton era guitar players, who then inspired these guys who were taking inspiration from all of them. And I kind of quote that I take inspiration from all of them now too, of all different generations of it. But so that's kind of how I got to where I am, I guess, with the genre today.
Now, two albums in that sort of 7 year period, but on loads of traveling. You've done a lot of road miles, haven't you?
Yes. Like I said, this is our fourth European tour that we're doing. This one's like, over the course of 3 months, we're doing 50 dates. There's 8 festivals in 10 different countries, and just a lot of driving and flying and stuff, which is great. I love it, and it's, you know, it's what I want to do. So
when do you get back home?
When we get home is at the end of June. And then there's some stuff lining up and this and that going on, and then we'll be back in Europe again in October, November already. So just kind of continually doing the building of our manifestation, I guess.
And are you as big in Europe as you are in the States, for instance?
It can vary. There's different territories. It's because it's kind of hard to explain how, like, one state in America can be the bigger than most countries that we've been to. It's, you know, like back home, people are always like, why don't you play Phoenix, Arizona? It's like right next door to you, or so it would seem. But it's like, yeah, it's a 10-hour drive one way. And, you know, you never know what you're getting into. But there's different areas where we have it and stuff. I think over here it's a little bit more compact because everyone's not too far from each other. And There's just a different dynamic over here, I think.
As you've discovered, though, our roads, especially in UK, right. Everything takes at least an hour to go anywhere.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Which isn't bad. I remember our first tour, I remember them saying something from like one town to the next or something that like, oh, well, I don't know. It's pretty far. It could take you up to an hour, hour and a half to drive. I was like, oh, that's, I drive that
I can do that at home.
To get to the show at night. You know, it's easy. But yeah, and it's a different dynamic. The way things are promoted here is very professional, and I think the music lovers here are a little bit more into it. I was kind of describing that last night of how people really look into, you know, for no real reason. Someone here should know me. I'm not a household name, but it's like they'll see me advertised and they'll look me up on YouTube and they'll look to see who it is and say, oh, I want to see that. So that they come to the show, they already know what they're coming for, or like what they are expecting.
And you've got some blistering videos on YouTube, haven't you?
We have a lot of YouTubes now. Yeah, it's really like,
I saw some of the stuff which was shot by Tripsy Bond up in Kingsley.
Oh, yeah.
That's some good, really good stuff.
Good.
And so obviously, you know, your YouTube sort of library is getting bigger and bigger. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially when we tour over here, it's like, I always joke that it's almost every song gets recorded by someone at each show, so it's probably...
I mean, do you mind that? Do you mind that there's sometimes some pretty ropey recordings on
It's you can't really do much about it and stuff, but it's, you know, sometimes there's really good stuff to like show, but you know, then you get the cell phone video that's blurry and all distorted because the mic's not able to pick it up
and heads walking in front of it.
Exactly.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay, musically, what are you gonna do for us next?
That's a good question. I'll do another song off the newest album.
Takes me to a special place. Well, on the moment when our eyes meet, I can feel my heart race. Baby, I swear it's only me and you. But everything just fades all away, yeah. Even my feelings so deep blue. And I don't think I could take it too much more. Someone else just ain't right. No, now I know I have to make your mind, baby, yeah, before the end of this starry night.
Another track off the album Redefined, which came out towards the end of last year. When did you actually lay it down?
Yes, I think we... it's a good question. I don't know if I can remember now. I believe we... I think we recorded it early in the year last year. And yeah, we released it actually first in Europe. It was the first time it was available, was on a tour we were doing about a year ago. And yeah, it's been doing great though since then. So I'm very happy with
all the tracks on the album written by you. Does writing come easy?
I think so. So most of the time, it always comes in a different way. I like to do it in different ways. I don't like to necessarily like make sure that I have like a guitar part written and then write to it, but to go back and forth. Sometimes I have words ready that just might take a while to find the right thing that it goes to or whatnot. But lots of songs. I was actually just talking about just all the songs that I've, that are recorded that aren't released over the years and stuff. I have a whole playlist on my
stuff that you recorded in the studio or just sort of...
Things that just demos. Were kind of like the B-side type stuff.
Right,
that
yeah, yeah.
Like we decided, let's go with these songs instead. We like these better or something. But getting ready to, hopefully, as soon as we get back home, to do an album that'll be acoustic bass. And it'll be kind of different takes on my songs and stuff, kind of... Also, an additional, you know, 3-4 new songs and just a bunch of different arrangements. And
it's a good idea because for a guy like you who's touring so much, the audience, their sort of insatiable thirst for for new material. You know, have you got a new album, Ryan? You know?
Yeah, exactly. And we like it when we do acoustic. We do rare acoustic shows and stuff. But I love doing it. Again, it's kind of back to a pure, honest thing of, you know, you can't really hide when it's just a guitar and there's no smoke and mirrors behind any of it and stuff, and you can't really hide your mistakes.
I wasn't certain when I was getting today because I know you were traveling with the other members of the band, and so I wasn't certain when I was doing the full electric set with drums and electric bass and things, and so but I mean, they're with you today, but I mean, obviously you're very happy with acoustic, are you?
Yeah, I love playing acoustic, and you know, it's fun. Again, it's just something different to do every once in a while, but when we do our acoustic shows, there's a lot of the times the songs are redone. Even what I just did now is a little bit different than the way it is on the album, but people really seem to really like the other version too, of like, oh, I wish I had that stuff. So it'll be kind of fun to do different arrangements, different, you know, orchestrations of stuff, and just kind of do different takes on a few things, and you know, and then also include a few songs that, you know, haven't been out yet.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned about writing and you don't try to sort of have a set way of doing it, but is it a kind of discipline you think, I really should sit down and do some stuff?
Sometimes you just feel like you need to do it or something, or like something you really want. It's like just a little bit ago, I was playing like a lick of like, oh, remember this? Like, how did this go? You know, the things to revisit. And back to the playlist, I found a song yesterday of mine that was an old one that I'd forgotten about, that I was like, oh yeah, that used to be really fun to, you know, when we were like trying it out. And then I was reminded of other songs that I don't have recorded that it was like, oh wow, there's still a lot out there and stuff to choose from.
It's amazing how sometimes you can sort of put something to one side and think, actually, it's not right, I don't like it, it's not ready.
Right.
And then years afterwards, you suddenly go back to it and think, oh
yeah,
I now see what was missing.
Exactly.
So the album which you'll go back and record will be the new album or an acoustic album?
Exactly. It'd be like track one will be like a different version of like a song from the first album. Mm-hmm. And song two will be like an acoustic version from the second album. And song three will be brand new. And then so forth.
That's nice. Yeah.
Kind of like through that. And maybe a few bonus tracks too that I'm kind of thinking of being impatient and wanting to put out. And so, but it'll be fun. I think it'll be good. We'll definitely have it on our next tour overseas. And
does that mean there'll be an expectation from the audience that at some stage during your live set, you'll be actually putting the electric guitar down?
I'm wanting to incorporate more acoustic into it too, like maybe midway or start the set even just with a few acoustic members and then go into the
electric. I saw you playing a lap on in Keithley. So.
Right, yeah, yeah. I started playing the lap steel on this tour for stuff of... I'd played it at home. I always loved doing it, and I did it right before we left, and people kept saying, oh, you really got to play lap steel over here. You got to take it. You know, they'll love it. And I was like, oh, I don't want to, you know, the
one
vintage
more
lap steel.
Carry.
I was like, oh, I'm going to check it. It's going to break. It's going to get stolen. Something will happen.
Yeah.
I was like eerie about it. And this great company, Duesenberg Guitars from Germany.
Now they sponsor you, don't they?
Yeah, they helped out a bunch over the last few years, and I knew that they were making a lap steel, and I had my lap steel slide with me over here. And I was going to do it as just a special number just for their crowd in Hanover when I knew that they would be coming from the factory and stuff. And it was the most fun I had all night because it was different and it was yes. fun and stuff. And then they really liked it. So the next morning, they surprised me. They gave me one of the four prototype lap steels to take with me and go play and stuff. So now it's a pretty much every night type right. of thing. That's just kind of the little special thing to do now.
I mean, when you go to your website, you're pretty sponsored up, aren't you?
I've been very lucky to get with some great companies, yeah, that help me out when they can.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, obviously, they're doing that because you're a fine guitar player, and they want to be a lead with that, don't they?
It's a good partnership, because especially I love helping people. Like Duesenberg, I love, like, telling people about the company. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's not exactly a household name, I don't think, everywhere. Stuff. They're more rare over in America than they are here. I've seen more, but they're just really high-end, very nice, very, you know, beautiful guitars that sound great, hmm. play great. And but I loved doing that. And, like, Ernie Ball had to help me. I had to bring over something like 200 sets of strings just for this tour, right. just for three guitars that I play so hard and just really oxidize the strings in a hot night yeah. and stuff that there's no way they'll last by the next night and stuff. So three guitars that are just constantly being changed. Nope. And, you know, working with the drummer on, like, some companies of, you know, yeah. he had to get through 50 pairs of sticks for the tour and lots of stuff like that. Great yeah. new strap company, mic company. There's so many little pieces of the puzzle. Yeah,
it's like Formula One race car driving. Yeah, there's not exactly. much of your body which isn't
sponsored. Start putting decals on our tour bus.
I mean, you mentioned the strings there. I mean, yeah. they sponsor you, but also that wasn't, they were involved with the Eric Clapton Crossroads, weren't
right.
they?
Right. Yeah. They put it on, and that was kind of part of the deal of winning that, which for the background on that is I was basically out of 4,000 plus artists around the world.
Yeah.
I was the one it came down to that got picked for Eric and got to play at his Crossroads Festival.
That's no mean feat, is it?
It was amazing because I started 2.5 months late because I just figured there's no way that, you know, it's too big and it's too crazy. And yeah. I don't stand a chance against.
And there's some big
people.
Names in there, aren't they? Yeah.
Every year there's amazing players that yeah. I've opened a show for in the past or something. I'm like, they're on a label. They've got, you know, yeah. a lot more fans or something. And we came from the back and just rose and rose and rose and rose. And, you know, it was just the thrill of a lifetime to get. Yeah. picked as it, you know. That's kind of how the Ernie Ball got involved with me. That yeah. was the biggest blessing ever of, like, being able to get involved with them. They're, like, no finer people, and they just really always do want to help and stuff, no matter what level you're at and stuff. They want to get behind the right people and stuff. So it's been very lucky to work with them and some other stuff that kind of came through Crossroads. And then of course, this year I was named Best New Talent in Guitar yeah. Player Magazine. That was another thing that then companies that hadn't really seen me yet were like, "Oh, hey, we checked you out. We like you. Like, you know, maybe we could do this with you now." And
do you feel a pressure mounting on you? Because other guitarists are going to be coming and sitting right in the front of the stage and watching your every move and making, you know.
And they do sometimes and stuff, but it doesn't really bug me. It's like, right. you know, I do the same. I like to watch artists. Yeah. yeah. I don't necessarily go to the front and watch them so intently, but, you know, it's kind of how it always, like, progresses.
I mean, I saw it for the first time really in any depth with Kelly Joe Phelps when he was doing the Borderline okay. Club. And the front row, sitting with their noses on the edge of the stage, were all guitarists that yeah. I recognize. You know? Right. It was the way it is.
Yeah, kind
of
there's certain guitar players you go to that, and you can always tell who they are because they'll make a sweep before the show starts, and they're looking to see what kind of pedals is he using, what's the guitars, what's his amp set up,
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
how do you use
make,
this,
make
you
know? Notes, yeah.
yeah.
Okay, music, what are you going to do next?
I'll do it fairly new. This is definitely a more blues-based song, but it's fairly new. This is called Goodbye Blues.
Thank you.
Brian McGarvey playing live on The Raven and the Blues. Do you find that as you're getting older, your writing and everything about the way you're playing and everything is changing very much?
Definitely. I think even just from the first album to the second album, I could hear like more of a maturity growing and, you know, the depth of the writing, the lyrics.
For those who don't know, who don't realize how old you are, how old are you now?
I'm 26.
Right, okay. Yeah. Grand age.
I could hear the difference if it was 25, I guess, with the last CD, and like around 19 or so with the first one. And it's almost night and day to me. I can even, the guitar playing, is, I feel very different. I think my voice, I feel like I finally kind of learned to sing. I'm still learning to sing, I think, but it's just everything about it is like grown of like stuff that, you know, can tell I've learned things, I think.
Is that because of the road miles you've done, or just sort of the quiet confidence that you build inside as you get older?
I think a little bit of both. I think definitely the, you know, just playing more and more and more and more, hundreds of shows and stuff, that you definitely, every night I catch something about my singing that it's like, oh, this was, I really liked the way this worked, or, you know, how to take care of my voice more and stuff on the road and stuff like that. And then, you know, even the playing, like you're always figuring something out new. And with me, it's always mostly by accident. I'll just do something and I don't know how I did it, but it's like, oh, that worked really, I like that.
Can I do that again?
You gotta figure out how to keep that in my mind, you know, for the repertoire. But definitely, I think just a little bit of both with that.
Yeah. And if somebody'd seen you working live 18 months ago, how different are you now?
I think it's definitely different. I think the band, I think right now, is tighter than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. It's just really just, you know, locked up. I have a great bass player, Justin McLaughlin, and I've got a wonderful new drummer, Logan Miles Nix. It's just everything meshes really great, but it's, you know, it's more where I want
to be. Now, they post-date the last album, don't they? Redefined.
They do, yeah. Yes. The drummer is very, very new, and Justin joined just after the album.
Right, yeah.
And so hopefully they'll both be on the next one, and, you know, it's going great, though. Yeah.
Do you kind of have a, in your mind, do you kind of have a career path worked out the way it's going to be? I mean, do you know another?
I always kind of like I'll put a goal, and nowadays it's getting harder and harder to pick which goal and stuff. But there's always been things in the past where it's been like, I remember when we were like, would start out, there was a club back home that I just thought was really awesome. And it's like, oh my God, if I could ever play there, it'd be really amazing. It'd be great. You know, it's the Blues Club or something like that. And then after playing it like twice or something, you realize like, oh, this place is horrible. I don't want to, like, why did I ever want to play here? This is not good. And, but then you get to that, and then you look at like another venue or something. Yes. It's like, oh, if I ever got to that, that would be the, you know, the, I'm established or something. And then that happens, and then you're like, oh, well, now this doesn't seem that great, and it just continues and continues, bigger and bigger things. But you know, it's also such a hard thing to like pick with the music business changes by the week with how it's ran or what's, you know, hip for the moment and stuff. But so it's really just kind of staying the course, just like continually building, you know, going out and hopefully finding every fan 10 at a time and making it so that they're astonished enough after the show that they go tell 10 people to come with them to the very next show, and just continually snowball everything.
I think also the social media part of it has created a rapid change in the way that the word, the buzz on the street about you can spread, you know?
Right. A lot of everything I have, is, I owe it to it. And it's funny because you go through phases where it's like, hate Facebook, hate Twitter, like, oh, this is so dumb. Why do people sit around and, you know, post, I'm eating soup right now, and I'm in this room of my house. So like details that you don't really, why do we find it interesting kind of stuff. But so you get through phases like that, but then you realize it's actually the best tool, one of the best tools you have. And so for getting the word out to people that you're going to be playing somewhere, or, you know, if you're involved with something, the Crossroads thing was to, you know, you needed to get people to generate a buzz to show them that you would be actually interesting to a large crowd. And it was the way of doing it to post it on all the websites.
Yeah. I think also the fans, I'm watching it at a remove, but I think also the fans like being part of your,
they're closer, they feel like they're a part of it with you,
knowing anymore. The things that are happening.
Yeah, exactly.
And even photographs of, you know, on the road or the traffic jam on the M26 or whatever, they go, oh, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, we post you know, we ate here, or this is what the venue looks like and stuff. And yes. I've got emails from friends back home and stuff that it'll write, be like, oh, that looked really great, like what you had or where you were and stuff. That it's cool because it keeps them along for the ride for the people that can't join us.
So are you actively doing that yourself, or sort of doing all the posting of the social media?
Pretty much, I do everything. In fact, I'm very pretty much involved with every aspect of everything in some sense. Yeah.
Ryan McGarvey PLC is actually all you, everything about it. Yes. And so you are your own manager as well?
Pretty much. It's me and my dad pretty much handle everything. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, and then we have like our tour manager here, Manny, and we've got different people. Finally, for Europe, which is another like great thing, is having an agent like for the country or region that you're going to that knows
and they work really hard here in the UK because they put out so much pre-buzz about
it. Yeah, they really do. This tour lined up great. If we didn't know that we were going to be able to do the UK, and then it didn't look like we were going to do it again. Mm-hmm. And we initially started, we were going to go play a festival in Germany and maybe two or three shows and then go back home for a month and a half and then come back and do like a short week and a half, 2 week tour. And now it's grown from April through June, and it's, you know, the UK portion, working with Linda Valentine, she was able to line up a good solid few weeks for us of every night somewhere to actually, you know, just, we're using this as our get our foot in the door and kind of just introduce ourselves to everyone sort of type thing. But it's, the reception's been tremendous so far, so I'm very happy with how things are going.
If people want to learn more about you, the website is
www.ryanmcgarvey.com, and that has all the info on us, links to the albums, silly pictures, and all of the dates.
And everything you need to know, and including all the awards. Is there one you haven't got yet? Which actually you're after?
I guess you could always say something like a Grammy or something. I don't know how important a Grammy is these days, but it's... there's always the dream big moments like that of like, it'd be great to reach that, but, you know, we'll see where we can shoot for.
And also, I mean, what was the WC Handy Awards, but now the Blues Awards. Right. I mean, that's something to aim for. Watch this space. Definitely. Okay. What are you going to finish with?
I'm going to try a song off of the first album called Watch Yourself.